Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Free Press is reporting that the a second victim has died in the shooting at Eastern Market on Sunday. I wonder if we have any listeners that were there. This is such a tragic, tragic thing. I think there's got to be regrets all over the place. The Detroit Police Chief James White said some things afterward that just implies this was going to be a fight. People were drunk, and one person pulled out a gun and shot the other two. He said, tailgating, drinking, and guns, they don't mix. And Gator, I just feel, think about going to a football game, and it's not unusual to see fights break out at a football game, but outside tailgating, people can legally carry concealed weapons, and this came out of it. Unless it was a life or death situation, you just don't pull a gun. I just don't.
No, you don't. And then you get into a debate. Well, what's life or death, or what's threatening your life? Is somebody is telling you, or is somebody waving a gun in your face that they're going to?
So I think back to decisions I made in my life, and as I got older, I started thinking, I don't know what the person that just bumped into me at the bar and said something offensive, what they're capable of. I don't know, what that person's story is. I don't know that that person isn't, unstable. I don't know that that person isn't quick triggered. I don't know that that person isn't mentally ill. I don't know that that person isn't, mad at the world. Right?
Yeah.
And you just say, all right, he bumped into me, called me a name. I'm going to be okay. I don't know what triggered this incident between two tailgate parties next to each other, but my God.
Yeah, it's horrible. I was watching the news last night, and the commissioner police chief was talking about it, and I just shake my head at the whole thing. And even he was like, what happened to just settling it? If you guys have a problem, go fight, and then somebody. And then
those days seem long gone.
And he said, literally said, fight, and then live to fight another day.
Walk away after you fight.
Yeah,
with your fist. But Doug, and I don't think anything would change with you personally, but these people they've been drinking. Yep. They have alcohol in their system. So for them to even think logically like that, Doug, is maybe not even in their mind.
That's the accusation from the police chief, right, is that they have been drinking. But there's certain things that hopefully you know better to do when you've been drinking, and one of them is to produce your weapon. But even just, de-escalate, man. That's the real power, is the power to de-escalate a situation. You want to seem powerful, de-escalate a situation.
No. The other thing is, it's easy to say all this, and I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but who knows what the situation was like there in person,
right?
What was being said, was there some physicality involved with it before all this? Who knows?
I think it's dumb to even throw hands at games. We see videos every single weekend at NFL stadiums where guys are just throwing haymakers at each other in the concourse, in the stands, in the parking lot. For what?
It's so weird. These are supposed to be awesome, fun times.
In particular, when you got concrete all around you, and there'd be no way that I'm going to throw hands at somebody. I have no idea what the other person is, like you said earlier, what they're capable of.
I want to, I don't know the
fight differently
resume.
Today. People fight differently today than they did 20 years ago.
And there's people with nothing to lose. Just don't care.
Yeah. I'll just walk away. You're right. You won. Thanks.
248-539-9797. Anyway, just tragic, tragic news. Champ and Chump votes, a bunch of them coming in via ticket text. My champ is the Detroit Tigers for continuing to play great baseball. My chump is Jared Goff for continuing to show his limitations. That's from Jim. I don't think he's changed much. I think he's the same guy.
He's off to a slow start.
Yep. All I have to say about the Lions is, how about those Tigers? That's from an unnamed texter.
There we go.
Another unnamed texter. Ben Johnson has been figured out. I have messaged this station multiple times. This is a 10-7 football team. Holmes not thinking in terms of windows will undo this team. Lackluster offseason, bringing in new parts. Josh Reynolds was a third down wide receiver. So, yeah, the Josh Reynolds thing, there might be some regret there. They did bring in a bunch of new parts defensively, which is where they really needed to bring in new parts.
I have a feeling that in like 6 weeks, we're going to like Tim Patrick.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He was considered a good locker room guy. He just got here. There might have been a miscommunication that led to a pick yesterday. Maybe not. I don't know if Goff will tell us with great detail. But you might be right.
Gator, I agree with you, man. I agree with you. And I said something a couple weeks ago. And Birchie, we had him on last week, right? Mm-hmm. And he confirmed or reiterated what I said. Tim Patrick stands out in that receiving room, and I mean by size. He's clearly the biggest receiver they have, which you want from the X position out with the receiver. And I think he literally just got here. So there was, I wouldn't doubt if there was some kind of miscommunication on that interception by Goff. But I think when they get on the same page, he learns the playbook. That's a guy, if, I mean, he had a sideline catch that, you know, he was out of bounds on. I mean, they just got to get more reps in. Yeah. He's got to, you know, get more work in. He's been injured the last couple of years. I think he could make a big difference here for this team.
Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Zeke. You're next on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Zeke.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So I guess I wanted to hear your take on how we utilize our running backs. I feel that we kind of pigeonhole ourselves from a play calling standpoint of using the running backs for specific drives versus situational football. For example, getting in the red zone, you know, second and two, second and or third and two near the goal line, and having Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, in down there. Not saying that he doesn't run the ball hard, but we do have a workhorse in David Montgomery. And I just feel sometimes if we get into a situation where it feels that they won't make the switch to put a certain back in situationally, it's just one drive or the other drive that they use them. And I've been noticing it for the two games this season, but also some in the last season. So I was curious if you guys kind of noticed that at all.
I've not. I'll start paying attention, looking for it. And, you know, oftentimes they talk about a running back wants to get into a rhythm, and that means, you know, play a couple plays here, a couple plays there. They have a 1A and a 1B. I mean, they really do have.
They're Ali and Frazier. Yeah.
Okay. Abbott and Costello.
They really do have an opportunity to, you know, have two lead backs. So the balance of how you use them is, you know, it's got to be tricky because there's got to be some minor things that one does better than the other. But they had some good runs yesterday. I mean, they had some really good runs.
The play that where St. Brown was in the backfield,
yeah,
and they faked like the handoff to St. Brown and pitched it out to Gibbs, and he picked up, I think, 23 yards.
It was like a fourth. That was the fourth and two, right?
I think
it was.
But, I mean, he picks up big yards on that play. It was just 23. It was, I don't know the down distance on it. But 23 yards and was that close to being able to stay in bounds and take it in the end zone. It's another one of those plays, man. There's like a handful of those plays yesterday were just that close to doing something great.
Tony's next. Hello, Tony.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, okay. Tony.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm just calling in to tell everybody to pump the brakes a little bit, man. You know, I don't think we need to hit the panic button whatsoever. You know, anytime you're going to try to throw the ball 55-plus times with Jared Goff, I mean, it's going to be hard to win the game considering the way our offense is built. I do think, you know, again, with not having St. Brown on that last drive, I think that's a huge loss, you know, in terms of a go-to guy. He is our go-to guy in those, you know, in those areas. And, you know, I just really think people need to pump the brakes. It's week two. I think we're going to figure it out. I think we have great leadership. And I honestly, I don't you know, foresee losing to a team that we just played in the playoffs. You know, you're playing a bad team in Tampa Bay. And I think a lot of people are taking it to heart as, you know, the season's down the, you know, down the drain or something. And I just don't think that's the reality that we're living with this team.
I pretty much agree with everything Tony said. Pretty much agree with everything he just said.
All right.